This morning I'd like to call your attention to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, beginning in verse 1. As the heart, and that word H-A-R-T would refer to what we think of today as a deer, a male deer, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for he shall yet praise him for the help, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep, the noise of the waterspouts, all the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. That's reading down through the entire chapter, Psalm 42. In this psalm, the writer is expressing to us in some detail a condition that he has found himself in. He is downcast. He's discouraged. Sounds like he's depressed. And he expresses a lot of that to us in this psalm. You know, in nature, we all need to take care of our health as best we can. We might need a trainer to help us learn how to do certain exercises or stretches. But when you get sick, you don't need a trainer, you need a doctor, a physician. Well, David, in this psalm, if in fact he is the writer of the psalm, and my Bible indicates that he was the writer of this psalm, David is needing help from on high to help him through his depression, his discouragement. And the problem seems to be that he's far away from God. He says, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We know in nature that the deer get thirsty. And when they're panting, it would indicate that they are desperate for water. So David is saying, just as the deer is panting after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He is recognizing his need of God. He wants to be close to God. He recognizes he needs that. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Not idols, not man-made gods, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David needs a great physician to help him in this season. I want to say this morning that I believe the Bible would indicate that every child of God who is born of the Holy Spirit and is on a spiritual journey through this life will experience moments like David is experiencing. I think that's common to God's children. Some of it could be the result of a willful sin in our life that we have committed that's got us far away from God, or it could be a satanic attack. You know, all of life involves what I call spiritual warfare. And if you notice in verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? You see, Satan has access to our thought life. And he can cause us to doubt the word of God, to doubt the blessings of prayer. Satan is always trying to get you and me in a bad state of mind. And how many of y'all have ever found yourself in a bad state of mind? Discouraged, depressed, down and out, hopeless. A lot of that is due to the devil attacking us. And it seems like David is in that situation at this time. And he recognizes his greatest need is communion with God. His soul is thirsting for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And I want to say to all of us today, when we're dealing with struggles in the mind, when we're dealing with discouragement or depression, what we need to do is draw near to God. Get just as close to Him as we possibly can. Now, the psalmist says in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Now, when a child of God gets in this state of mind, sometimes they can be very harsh to themselves and judgmental toward themselves and say, well, if I had prayed more, if I'd read my Bible more, if I'd given thanks more, if I'd gone to church more, then maybe I wouldn't be in this state of mind. That's always a possibility. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray. We need to give thanks. We need to be in church like we are this morning. All those things are helpful. But some of God's children who are very faithful to read their Bibles and pray and give thanks and they never miss a church service, they still get in this state of mind. So we don't need to be too harsh on ourselves. What we really need is to try to get back as close to God as we can. There was a preacher from Tennessee named Elder Goldston. Some of you may have heard his name mentioned. He was well known among Primitive Baptists back in the 1930s and 40s and 50s. My friend Elder Byrd knew him. Brother Goldston was an unusual character. One time he was down at Oak Grove Church on a Saturday morning, and when they went inside to worship, they said, brethren, we have met to worship. And Brother Goldston said, I don't believe that. He said, I was out there in the yard with all of you this morning, and y'all were talking about the weather. You were talking about cotton and peanuts. I didn't hear any of y'all talking about God. He was rough. I mean, he could really get on your toes. And one time he was He felt far away from God. He just felt like God had forsaken him. And Brother Goldston said, when I get in that state of mind, I just have to get off of myself, and I don't eat, and I just pray and beg God to please restore my fellowship with him. Well, we all can get in that state of mind. And let's not let the devil win. Would y'all agree? We don't want Satan to win and triumph over us, do we? He would love to, but we don't want him to. And so, the psalmist here is not doubting whether there is a God or not. He's not struggling with atheism. No, but what he is struggling with is the fact that he's not close to God. He's not communing with God like he would like to. And so he says to himself, he says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Now this brother is in a bad condition spiritually and emotionally. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night. In other words, I'm not eating. I don't have an appetite. And he says, my tears have been my meat. And it's not just during the day, but it's even at night. Apparently, he's not even sleeping. His tears are flowing continually day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? If God is your God, why are you going through such a difficult season? See, the devil loves for you and me to doubt God's faithfulness and God's goodness when we're going through trials. Maybe your house is burned down, or you've been in an awful car accident, or you've lost your job, or you've been diagnosed with cancer, or you've lost a loved one in death. See, Satan will take advantage of all those situations and ask us, where is your God? Why would he let you be going through all of this? Satan loves to plant doubts in our mind against our God. He will charge God with not loving us and not being a faithful God. And he wants us to join in that state of mind. Now, what does the psalmist do when he's down and out like this? Verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Apparently the psalmist is remembering those wonderful seasons in his past when he was able to join with a multitude in worshiping God. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Now, apparently, based on what he says in this psalm, he's no longer close to Jerusalem. Some of where he is mentioned here in this psalm. He would say in verse 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mazar. He's far away from Jerusalem. He can't assemble with the people of God in the temple of God. And his soul is suffering for a lack of worship. Let me say this morning, beloved, Private Bible study is a wonderful thing. I would encourage all of us to study our Bibles in our homes by ourselves. It's wonderful to pray privately. I encourage all of us to pray constantly. But none of that will ever be a substitute for public assembly of the saints. You know, the word church, you know what that word means basically? It means the called out assembly. When the assembly of God, people have been born of the Spirit, they have the love of God in their hearts, they have a hunger and thirst for His fellowship, and they long to praise Him in the house of worship. Let me tell you, there's no substitute for that. When the pandemic was going on, there was about, I think, 8 Sundays that we didn't meet at Vestavia Church. And I can tell you, I suffered. And the congregation suffered. Now, we broadcasted services on the internet, and that was, you know, that was a poor substitute for gathering together in the house of God. I'm glad we have it available now for people who are sick and can't come to church. But let me tell you, when you are cast down, you need to be in God's house. Keep on reading your Bibles. Keep on praying. Keep on singing. Keep on going to church. Even if you're not feeling it, and God seems far away from you, just keep on keeping on. Would y'all agree with that? Sometimes people say, I just don't get out of church what I used to get out of it. Well, those seasons are going to happen to all of us. Preachers don't always enjoy going to church. You said, Brother Sam, you know not. Well, I'm telling you, the devil is after me just like he's after you. Are y'all with me this morning? But I want to keep on keeping on in the service of God. And I tell you, I love those times when I can hardly wait to get to church. I love those seasons. I just can't wait to see y'all and visit with you and fellowship with you in the house of God. But those seasons when I'm not excited about it, I need to come on to the house of God and be faithful in the house of God. David, a man of God, a man after God's own heart, is cast down. Listen to what he says. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? One reason, probably, we can be discouraged or cast down or depressed is because of physical problems. Verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? If people have a medical problem, a physical problem that's pulling their bodies down, it can affect their mentality, their attitude. It certainly can. I remember Elijah, after his battle with Ahab and Jezebel, ran about 70 miles, and he was exhausted physically. And you know what? He was so down, he wanted God to take his life. Y'all remember that? We're talking about Elijah, a man of incredible faith. He was one of those on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus appeared in his glory. There was Elijah and Moses. Elijah was a great man of God, but now he is physically exhausted to the point where he is ready to just die. And you know what God does? God sends a raven to feed him and put him to sleep. You know, there are just times in your life when really what you need is a good meal and a good night's rest. We shouldn't push ourselves to the point where we're just totally exhausted if we can possibly help it. Now here the psalmist says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? Something's going on with the writer. And it could have been a physical problem. I'm not sure about that. But I want to encourage all of us to take care of our bodies. You know, you're a body, you're a soul, and you're a spirit. Now, if your body needs good health, if you can have good health, would y'all agree? How many of us really know how to appreciate good health? I tell you, it's hard to enjoy anything if you don't feel good. Good health is a great blessing, and God only gave us one body. We can't go to Walmart and get another one. We need to take care of the one we've got and ask Him to help us to take care of it. We need health in our bodies. We are a soul, and a soul needs friends. We all need people that we are close to, that we can visit with and talk to. And communicate with. We need our family. We need our community. We need our church family. Our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we need human beings. You know, God said to Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. And that's true. Beloved, you and I need people around us. And thank God for our spiritual family. But then you're a spirit. You're a body, a soul, and a spirit. And that spirit longs for God. It doesn't matter how good your health is. It doesn't matter how many friends you've got. If you're not close to God, you're going to be downcast. Do you hear me? And we don't need to do anything that's going to bring about a distance between us and our Heavenly Father. And so the psalmist remembers when he would go to the house of God and be with the multitude, and they would, with the voice of joy and praise, worship God on the holy day. He remembers what a blessing that was. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Now here's something David is doing. Instead of listening to his heart, he begins to speak to his heart. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. This dear brother is beginning to preach to himself. And he's saying, I want you to hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill Mazar. In other words, even though I can't be at the temple, even though I can't be with the singers in the house of God, I'm going to remember Him wherever I am. I'm going to keep Him on my mind. I'm going to draw near to Him. Deep calleth unto deep, and the noise of thy water spouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. What David is doing here, beloved, is reminding himself of the loving kindness of God. How many of y'all believe that God is full of love? How many of y'all believe in His loving kindness? Are y'all listening to me this morning? See, Satan wants us to doubt God's love, God's care. I want to say to y'all this morning, we have a glorious shepherd who has promised to watch over us. I love Psalm 23. How many of y'all love that psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, when you get down and you're struggling with some discouragement or depression, may I prescribe to y'all Psalm 23? See if that doesn't help. You talk, there's no high like the Most High. Would y'all agree with that? And let me tell you, when you get your mind stayed on God,
and you're reminding yourself of His loving kindness. We sung that song this morning, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. How many of y'all believe that? I don't know why we wait till Christmas to sing that song. We ought to sing that song all through the year. There is joy in the fact that Jesus Christ came into this world. And some have suggested that Charles Wesley, who wrote that song, was not so much focusing on His first coming when He came to be born in a barn and live in poverty and suffer on a cross, as maybe Wesley was thinking about His second coming. What a joy that's going to be when the heavens part. Y'all look real excited about that. What a day that will be when the heavens depart and He descends in shame and defeat. No, He comes back in all of His glory with victory. Coming back shouting. You know why? Because He won on the cross. And you know what you and I need to be doing every day? Reminding ourselves, no matter what's going on down here, no matter how hard life is, it's all going to be okay in the by and by. How many of y'all like that song, The Sweet By and By? I love that song. And you know what that song will do? It'll make the now and now sweet if you get your mind on it. Don't let the devil take your mind and drag it through the gutter. Keep your mind stayed on Him. I love what Paul said to the Colossians. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now see, it's part of the preacher's job to keep your mind stirred up when we're at church. I'm trying. And some of y'all look like you're getting it. But you know, somebody that's always at church, that's the devil. He's here. Sometimes he's in the pulpit. He might be sitting right out there next to you. Don't look now at the person sitting next to you. Not accusing anybody. But I'm telling you, the devil is here, and he'd like to make this worship service a total flop. He wants y'all to leave here as discouraged as you can possibly be. But my job as a preacher is to preach Jesus to you. Keep your pure mind stirred up. But when you leave church, you're going to have to work at it. Are y'all with me? See, your mind is like a garden. Whatever you plant in it, it's going to produce. If you plant good thoughts in your mind, it'll produce hope. It'll produce good things. But if you, listen, I tell you, if we were all as good at judging ourselves as we are judging the culture and the government, brother, it'd be a better world. And I can tell y'all a lot that's wrong in Washington, D.C. How about y'all? There's a lot wrong up there. But the truth is, there's a lot in me that needs to be working on. I need to be working on it. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. He's acknowledging that he's thirsting after God. He's far away from God for whatever reason. He's not going to church like he did at one time. He's not with the saints. But he's saying, I'm going to remember God wherever I am. I'm going to keep my mind stayed on Him. See, instead of listening to His heart, He's talking to His heart. And when you talk to yourself, make good sense. And you know what you need to tell yourself? My God is a faithful God. My God is a good God. My God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever think of or ask. Wow, that ought to encourage us to pray. I have a friend in Alabama who's had some serious health problems. And he's got a job now, but it's a very hard job for him. And it requires him to work on Sunday. And he's been texting me and saying, Brother Sam, pray that God will help me to get a job where I can go to church and be with my church family on Sunday. And I've been praying for that. And I quoted that text from him. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask for or even think about. Do y'all believe in that kind of God? I do. As a matter of fact, if you and I could have the proper memory and could just go back down through memory lane and remember clearly all that God has done for us all through the years, we'd stand amazed, wouldn't we? I want to tell you, I'm here this morning because of God's grace. Not because I'm clever, not because I'm smart, not because I'm, you know, a wheeler dealer. I'm here by God's grace. I like that verse on Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. So, the psalmist, he's preaching to himself. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. You know, when the disciples came back from a preaching trip and they were rejoicing that the demons were subject to them, you know what Jesus said? He said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now I want to tell you, if your house burns down, if my house burns down, if we lose our health, if we're in a car crash and the car is destroyed, or we go into an economic depression in America and we can't get enough food to eat, my name will still be written in heaven. How about that, folks? Are y'all with me today? Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And you know who wrote them up there? God did. And there's no eraser on his pen. Your names are written in heaven. I tell you, that just makes me happy. I rejoice that when this brief journey on earth is over, I'm going to fly away and be with Jesus in heaven forever and ever. His loving kindness will never end. Paul said nothing can separate us from the love of God. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And he's battling in his mind. Satan is gotten in some good punches. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. See, if your hope is in money, if your hope is in the government, if your hope is in human beings, you may have every reason to be cast down. See, in Psalm 3, David would indicate that his hope had been in his son Jonathan. Jonathan was his favorite child. But Jonathan had given in to the flesh and the devil, and Jonathan turned against David and stole the hearts of the people from David. And Jonathan was trying to take the kingdom from David. See, if your hope is just in your children, or in your neighbors, or your siblings, or your money, or your job, beloved, it's subject to be lost. But if your hope is in God, who changes not, it's an anchor to your soul, sure and steadfast. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For he shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. I want to close this morning by reminding you all of a man that did thirst for God and was abandoned by God. And you know who that was? Go with me a moment to Calvary and see God's perfect Son, Jesus Christ.
And what did Jesus cry out on the cross? I thirst. Look at him up there. Every drop of water on this planet today, the water in this bottle, every drop of water in the oceans was created by his hand. And yet, to become your Savior, he hung up there on that cross and thirsted for a drink of water. I'm sure his mouth was parched. I thirst. And nobody gave him a drink. And then he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Are y'all listening to this? You and I will never be able to say that because he's not going to forsake us because of Jesus. But he forsook his son. His son knew what it was to thirst physically. And he knew what it was to be abandoned by God. And you may say, Brother Sam, why? Why would God abandon his only son? See, Jesus didn't refer to God as God much. He called him his father. As a matter of fact, while he's up there on the cross and praying, he calls him father. But now, as the sword of divine justice is unsheathed, and God is going to treat him the way he would have had to treat every one of us in hell forever, God is going to pour out his wrath on his own son who has taken my place and your place. And there he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why he forsook him. So that he could treat him the way you and I deserved. He got what you and I deserved. Now I want to tell you, I want to love him. What about y'all? Y'all want to forget this Savior? God forbid that I would ever forget him. I want to think about him all day long. I want to wake up in the morning with him on my mind. I want to go to bed at night saying, thank you, Father, for giving your son to die for me on the cross. And see, when you keep that focused on your mind, it builds your hope up. It's good medicine for the mind. It's a good antidepressant. Are y'all listening? Now, I know people in nature need antidepressants. I understand that. Medicine is important. But I want to tell you, the best antidepressant I've ever come across is keeping my mind stayed on God. And don't ever let the devil cause you to think he's forsaken you. No, sir. He said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. And there's no feeling in this world like feeling his presence. It's incredible. Thank y'all for your good attention today.